Welcome to In Focus, a very special edition of In Focus, as a matter of fact, as we are beginning our look this entire week at affordable housing. We're going to have guests coming in at a couple different levels of government and also some people who are very active in the homelessness awareness side of things to talk to you and to give us the information that we would need. Of course, as we head into a provincial election, this is going to be one of the biggest issues, if not the biggest, that will be put at the table over the course of the campaign, particularly now that this is really being highlighted in rural areas like across our listening area. And we're so pleased to begin this week with Smiths Falls Mayor Sean Panko. Sean, thank you so much and welcome back to In Focus.
Great to be here again, Bob. Thank you.
We want to let's start things off on a good note. This is obviously it's a discussion that is going on around many council horseshoes right now. And we just heard the other day, and I know that you and I have been talking about this with Councillor McGuire, I do believe, for well over a year, about a wonderful new development that is coming to Smiths Falls. That is exactly this. It is affordable housing.
Yes, we're very excited that Commissioner Services Committee at our County Council was supportive of the RFP submission made by CareBridge for the funding for the rent geared to income development at 44 Chamber Street in Smiths Falls. This is something, as you mentioned, has been they've been working away at it for quite a while. They've made many submissions to the towns, they're working their way through site plan. We provide support through our downtown community improvement plan to provide funding support. And we're very excited to see this come together. And we could not have a better partner and better contributor to our town than CareBridge.
CareBridge has really been a leader in helping people in Lanark County. There's no doubt about it. We saw them spearhead the grocery delivery programs. That's only like the beginning of it. They're heavily involved in the effort to bring people fleeing the war from Ukraine to the area as well, lending services to the groups that are doing that. It's just amazing how far they reach out. And now this is, it's got to be one of their larger projects, I would assume. I'm not going to ask you to answer for them, but certainly this is a big, big undertaking.
Well, they've long been a supporter of providing affordable and supportive housing in Lanark County. And for a little history here, it was the summer of 2019 when CareBridge reached out to myself and other municipal leaders across the county, inviting them to come to a discussion about trying to develop more affordable housing within Lanark County. So they had a willingness back almost 3 years ago. And through those conversations, I sort of indicated there's an interest in Smiths Falls. We're establishing a housing task force. We were very conscious that the need for more affordable and certainly rent geared to income units in our town. And CareBridge responded extremely positively. They showed an interest in working across the county, and when we showed an interest back, they committed to doing what they can in Smiths Falls. And it's been a relatively long journey, but then again, breaking ground sort of maybe 3 years from an initial discussion is actually pretty fast in the current environment and the challenges they would have to go through. And it's been, without Lanark County Council and staff supporting their initiative, there's no way they would be able to bring a rent geared to income development, not solely rent geared to income development, to Smiths Falls. I mean, financially, the cost of construction nowadays is almost a $9 million project. It's about $300,000 a unit. So without capital funding from the county and without the rent supports from the county, this type of project wouldn't even be possible. So we have to recognize how critically important it is for really all levels of government to commit to doing more than they have for affordable housing.
This is also, I think, really can set the bar for other projects like it, right from the partnership to securing the funding and all that. But location is really something that stands out for me when we take a look at this particular building right across the street from groceries. It is very, very close to multiple places where people could find employment. That had to be a huge factor in this project.
Absolutely. And trying to make sure it's close to amenities is a real positive. If it was a little further away, because available land in town is at a premium, and lots big enough to accommodate a multi-residential development are getting few and far between. But having it so close is really beneficial. And also having that land within our downtown community improvement plan area enabled us to waive some planning fees and building fees to $212,000. And council also committed to, even though we can't do it officially until a building is built, but to a tax abatement, so a reduction in property taxes for, I think, probably up to 20 years to ensure that the modeling that Caribbridge has to use to ensure these units are truly affordable can be realistic as well.
When do shovels go in the ground? Do we know that yet?
So they expect to start construction toward late summer, early fall this year, and hoping to have occupancy by summer of 2023.
Now, when it comes to affordable housing, this has been a central issue when it comes to Smiths Falls and to councillors. And really, this is something that is at the top of the list.
Of course. And we went through decades of very, very modest levels of construction. I think between 1996 and 2016, we only had about 30 or 35 new apartments built in town. And so it was such a short and limited supply led to high demand. Of course, the growing economy in town has exploded that demand and prices have risen dramatically. We're seeing all kinds of construction. I mean, we'll have more residential units built within a 3-year period or so between 2020, 21, 22, and then 23 than we would have built in probably the previous 50 years. But affordability is still a factor and the cost of construction is an issue. So we had a housing task force, which led to the development of a housing advisory committee to implement an additional 16 recommendations that we can try to follow to encourage the development of more affordable housing. And I think it's hard sometimes for the community to recognize when units are coming in. It is a development community that is committed to doing so. The municipality, the town itself, does not have any tools that would require a developer to build affordable units. That's called inclusionary zoning. So far, the province has not enabled smaller municipalities that don't have public transit to bring that in. So we've lobbied to ask for the possibility of having inclusionary zoning, which would lead to the development of more affordable units. As it is right now, we have incentives, and we're putting together a community improvement plan for affordable housing, which would stretch across the entire town, and in order to provide incentives for the development community to bring in affordable units. And we've been fortunate. We have a couple of developers in town who have already brought or committed to affordable units in their new projects. There are a handful of units to make a difference for those who are living there.
What are some of the, I don't know if powers is the right word, but maybe regulations that you'd like to see have available to the town of Smiths Falls? Would those include, like, saying a percentage of new development by any developer has to include housing that is affordable?
Yeah, that's a tool that most municipalities lack, and even larger urban municipalities only have them in limited areas. So in order to be able to force a developer to do that, there's an inclusionary zoning bylaw, which has to be within, I think, 800 meters of public transit, a major public transit station. So without transit in town, we don't have that opportunity. However, the communities in Leonard County are small and really walkable. I think there's a need to bring inclusionary zoning bylaws to the forefront as an availability for smaller municipalities who could do that. And that could compel or require developers to make a certain percentage of units in a new development to be affordable. So without that tool, we'll rely on incentives, reducing parking requirements, making changes to minimum unit sizes, providing possible public land, town land for affordable housing development, as well as a community-wide affordable housing CIP that we could reduce fees, as well as a tax abatement on affordable units in the future. But again, it's that willingness of the development community to partner with us in order to bring in affordable units. And as I mentioned, there's been some who've done some so far, but we definitely need more.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about the development that's going up on Chambers Street there, and that one is, you said, close to $9 million. This isn't just $9 million that is laying around. Every time there's a story. It doesn't matter if it's Smiths Falls, Carlton Place, Perth, doesn't matter. Wherever they are spending money on something, we see inevitably somebody will comment, or a couple people will, why not spend this money on affordable housing? But when you're looking at, you know, getting money that's about $200,000 or $300,000 for something, that's not going to go very far. When you said $300,000 was the cost per unit in this new building.
Exactly. So in a rent geared to income development, the tenant pays 30% of their gross income to housing. So let's take an example of someone on ODSB or someone on a modest fixed income of $1,200 a month, their rent would be $360. And there isn't a financial model where a builder can construct a unit at the cost of $300,000 and provide rent at $360. That's where the subsidies from the county are so critically important. And that in itself isn't enough without having the support for capital as well. We have to remember there's always the other costs of running a building from utilities and overhead and maintenance and cleaning and money set aside for future repairs. It's an expensive endeavor. And again, that's why we think we need more support from the federal government and from the provincial government for capital funding for our rent geared to income developments and affordable housing, because without it, without the support of government and the willingness of a not-for-profit to take on the risk in many ways through their own willingness and their own commitment to the community, these things can't happen.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting to me too, because just a few short years ago, we were talking about the trickle down effect. Like we'd have some newer places come in that may be smaller, say apartments, new apartments. And then you had people who didn't want to have, they wanted to downsize, usually older people, and they had an opportunity to do so. And then it started sort of this trickle down effect of, well, now there's an existing house that is now available for sale. And back then it made sense. First-time home buyers, people even looking to upgrade from what would be considered a starter home, could then move into there. And it opens up eventually something that's a little bit more affordable down that chain. But now with the housing prices as they are, that kind of trickle-down effect is virtually non-existent, isn't it?
Yeah, even though the price of a home to own in town is still lower than some of the area municipalities, it's approaching $500,000 on average. Oh. And for a lot of people, that's just never going to be a realistic purchase price. So the demand for rentals is high. It has always been higher in Smiths Falls. We've long had about 42% of our residents who rent their homes. The addition of hundreds of new units puts us in well ahead of where we thought we would be at this stage. And even our probably by the end of this year or next year, we would have had more homes constructed in the last 8 or 9 years than what our official plan calls for by 2034. Hmm. So we're well ahead from a supply standpoint, but the demand is so high that the market rents are higher than most people can afford. And of course, the other concern we're seeing on a regular basis is people buying investment properties in town and trying to find ways to, unfortunately, squeeze your tenants out, recognize that there's an opportunity to make some modifications and bring in a tenant's going to pay a lot more rent because they have no choice. There's nothing else available. So that's another deep concern. And that's one of the other initiatives that the Housing Advisory Committee has worked on, which has really, in many ways, I think, made some differences thanks to the work of some of the members of our committee.
Yeah, and they're called rent evictions. And actually, it's on my list to talk to you about because you actually penned a note and posted it online to your social media as well, talking about this. And we've heard these stories going on around town. People actually get told they have to leave because the apartment's being renovated, and they say, oh, well, some cases they say you can rent it once we're done, but the rent goes sky high and these people can't afford it.
Yeah, it is deeply disturbing. And I hear from people on a very regular basis, including last week. It's the N13 rent eviction notice. And in many cases, the units do not require the amount of renovations needed does not require the tenant to move out. So it is a tactic, and it's horrifying when you have people who will find a way to throw someone out of their home in yeah. order to complete a rent, maybe complete a renovation or not in many cases, in order to get more rent. And the Housing Advisory Committee did do a workshop, a tenant workshop, back on September 30th. And I had an email a little while ago from a gentleman who had tuned into that. And he had, as a result of watching the workshop, delve deeply into the Landlord and Tenant Board, the Landlord Tenant Act, and understanding all of his rights. And it was so rewarding to see the tone in his email and the details of how empowered he now is. And he lives in a unit with four other units in the small building. They'd all received N13s to move out, and he's put his foot down and says, "I don't have to move out. I know my rights." And for anybody who is listening, who is a tenant who has received maybe a similar notice, just remember that that type of notice does not mean you move out. Only a decision from the Landlord and Tenant Board can force a tenant out of their unit. So landlords may continue to follow through, and there may be cases where a short-term exodus of the unit may be necessary to complete renovations. But even should that happen, the tenant is still permitted to go back to that unit at generally what will be a modest increase in rent approved by the Landlord Tenant Board. So there's a process, mm-hmm. and it's important that landlords follow that process, and it's important that tenants understand the rights of that process is in place to protect them.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people may have said before that it sounds like a lot of work in order to follow up on this, but really the alternative is it's going to take you a lot of work to find a place that was comparable in rent because it's probably not out there.
Impossible, right? Yeah. And that's, so I've always believed through this whole process that the most affordable unit someone has is the home they're in today. So if they're entitled to stay there, then we want to ensure that they understand the rights and they will get the legal representation they need from the legal clinic in Perth in most cases, so that they can continue to stay in their home if that's the decision of the Landlord and Tenant Board.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we just have a few minutes left, John. I wanted you to sort of look down the road a little bit. You've already described to us, in pretty good detail, what the issues are facing municipalities today. But when you look down the road, you do have a plan. What are some of the things in that plan that you would like to see come to fruition in the next little while? When it comes to this particular issue, and where do you see Smiths Falls going in the next, say, 6 months to a year and a half, 2 years?
Well, I think we've been really good, and our planning department especially, has been really good at getting project approvals through and working with developers. And I think that's a big reason why we have so many projects underway. And another reason why I don't hear from developers complaining about our planning process and our building process, because I think that all our staff are doing an incredible job. So the Housing Advisory Committee report really focuses on what can we do, what's within our control. And so we've already hired a consultant to redraft our downtown community improvement plan and to draft the affordable housing community improvement plan. That's probably the biggest incentive we can provide. We're also making changes to our zoning bylaw, which will make development somewhat more affordable for developers, where we reduce parking requirements, lot sizes, unit sizes, and things like that, that can hopefully make small contributions. So the intent is that using a variety of tools and maybe multiple of those tools for any given project, we can have developers who will feel compelled to provide affordable units within their development. And the other big part of it, we want to make sure that they provide affordable and universally accessible too, to ensure that people who are living with physical limitations and disabilities have units which can also fulfill, completely meet their needs, not just barrier-free doorways and hallways, making sure that the actual unit functions for people who may have limited mobility.
I don't know if you'd use the same word, but it sounds like there's a lot of hope involved, because really it's ultimately the decision of those developers as to what they want to do at this point.
At this stage, that's what we can do. And of course, the other part is continued partnerships with not-for-profits like CareBridge. And we've got the one project underway. Well, we don't believe that is the last. CareBridge certainly is a very willing partner. If we can find a way to locate other additional pieces of property that would be suitable for multi-residential development, and if they can put the financial modeling in place, hopefully there's other projects that can happen down the road. So that's really, it's working with not-for-profits and it's providing incentives for developers at this stage. The third piece of that, of course, would be continuing to lobby the province hoping that they will make some changes to the inclusionary zoning to permit smaller municipalities to do it. Because even if we had 10 or 15% of units affordable within larger developments, that would have related probably to dozens of more affordable units in our community in the current period. So it's there's a number of things underway, but at this stage, obviously the thing we're most grateful for and proud of is it's a partnership with CareBridge, and knowing that there will be 28 family units that will be living in a new many units universally accessible, centrally located home that will fulfill all of their needs in a price they can afford.
Yeah, and across Lanark County, we just need about 1,000 more of those, and we'll be in pretty good shape.
Exactly.
And it's unfortunate that's where we sit. But you're right. It is like it's a good start, and it's a good model. It's I think something that people can look at in other communities, in other municipalities, and you know, perhaps even urge their councils to try to get involved in some sort of partnership that's very similar to that. I know CareBridge would probably welcome getting deeper into this business, and certainly it would be something that could help. The last thing I wanted to ask you is, when someone asks you, when can I expect to see more affordable housing? I know you get this question all the time, whether it be an email or wherever. What do you tell people?
Don't give up. I mean, we're working on it. We're absolutely committed to it. And as you mentioned, I think we've done a lot of work through the last 2.5 years to create the platform and the basis for and the foundation for more affordable housing units. And I'm really grateful to the members of our housing task force initially, who worked through 2020, as well as the Housing Advisory Committee. And these are volunteer members who have committed dozens and dozens and dozens of hours towards the betterment of the community, and the willingness to try and help come up with ideas and solutions and strategies to develop more affordable housing. So it has been a number one priority of this council. I suspect it'll continue to be a number one priority for the next council. We recognize how critically important it is for people to have a home they can afford. We have limited tools, but we're committed to doing the best we can. And recognizing, of course, that until we have people living in our units they can afford, we really haven't achieved very much.
Indeed. And I do want to make sure that it is known that whenever we have you on, or Malcolm, anyone from the town, and we start to talk about the future, we start to talk about the work that's being done, whether it be on the budget or whatever, affordable housing is always, you know, lowest down on the list is like number two that you bring to the table voluntarily before you're even asked about it. So we do know that this is a priority of the town, and I'm sure the people who are listening who would like to find affordable housing in Smiths Falls are grateful for that. Of course, it's never enough for some people, of course, and we do hope that we can see movement on some of the initiatives that you were talking about today in order to help increase that stock. But we will celebrate the building that's going in place right now, or very soon. Sean, I want to thank you so much. Was there anything you wanted to leave our listeners with on this topic?
Just the one piece regarding rent evictions, just again to recognize, if you are a tenant and you are getting any type of order from your landlord or any type of pressure to move out, reach out to the legal clinic in Perth. That's Legal Aid. They provide free legal assistance. I think it's 267-8888 or 264-8888. Maybe go to the website. But they will represent you. They'll do the best they possibly can to ensure that your rights are protected and you have an opportunity to stay in your home. There are issues out there with some tenants who do not treat their properties with respect, and landlords are left with some real grief and cost. But it's important that landlords and tenants all have a good relationship and all respect each other's priorities and rights, and ensure that if there are situations where people are being forced out of their homes without due process, without due cause, that they do get the protection they need.
Excellent. Sean, I want to thank you again for taking the time and kicking off Affordable Housing Week here on In Focus on Lake 88.
Thanks, Bob.
Excellent. Our first guest here of the week, as we do take a look at affordable housing on In Focus, is Mayor Sean Panko from the town of Smiths Falls. Now, tomorrow, we will continue with Perth Mayor and Lanark County Warden John Fennick, who will talk to us about how his town and the county are tackling the issue. And then don't forget, we are going to be speaking with people who will be talking about awareness when it comes to this down the road. And we are going to end things, of course, this week with the Leeds, Granville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes MPP, Steve Clark, who is also the Provincial Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing. All that and more coming up this week on Lake 88 on In Focus. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.